In the summer of 1939, Europe was months away from World War, and England was desperate for American support. Franklin Roosevelt invited the King and Queen to visit the U.S. and to spend the weekend at his country house in upstate New York. And that weekend, the fate of Europe was decided over a hot dog picnic. Yeah, FDR insisted on serving King George VI hot dogs. The new movie Hyde Park on Hudson, starring Bill Murray as FDR, tells the story of that pivotal weekend. It's narrated by a neighbor of the Roosevelts, Daisy Sukley, played by Laura Linney, who described FDR as her best friend.
Hello?
Who is that?
The president wishes to see me.
I'd been invited to visit with Franklin at his home in Hyde Park.
Daisy? What a rad trip.
His mother said he needed to take his mind off his work and the pressures of being the president.
The playwright Richard Nelson wrote the movie's screenplay, and he says that something more was going on between Daisy and Franklin Roosevelt.
If you look at the diaries and you look at the intimacy in the diaries and the letters between Daisy and Franklin Roosevelt, and you compound that to the fact that she was one of the three or four people with Roosevelt when he died, that the only two photographs of Franklin Roosevelt in a wheelchair were both taken by Daisy Sukley. And then you put that in the context of Roosevelt's own life and the affairs that we know he had that are well documented and proven.
And figure in this movie as well.
That's exactly right. So when you put that all in the context, I think it's a reasonable assumption to make that they had a loving and intimate relationship.
Given that they are real people and that one of them is, I guess, the most important president of the United States of the 20th century, did you have qualms about making that leap?
I don't. I think that what interests me as a writer, both in the theater and now in film, is to show people in their complexity and leaders in their complexity and the ambiguities and their confusions and how they address that within the events of their lives. And I think that only makes them more human, and I think that makes them more democratic. I think the more we take our leaders and put them on pedestals, the more we take the onus of responsibility off our own shoulders.
These days, these weeks, we are concerned about, or at least interested in, the extramarital affairs of our leaders. In FDR's case, as you researched him and his relationship with Daisy, was there any sense that that relationship had any effect on the way he governed, or had any effect?
Well, I think the question whether it was moral or not to have affairs, I think no. I don't think it had any effect on his presidency whatsoever. I think it had effect on his human being in terms of relaxing, in terms of trying to organize his life and keep some sanity. I mean, I think what Daisy Sukley provided was someone who he could do just boring things with, go for rides with, sit around and forget with.
And Laura Linney plays Daisy Sukley. Bill Murray is FDR. Let's listen to a clip.
Is my wife behaving herself?
Yes.
Has my mother calmed down?
She's fine.
It's like a madhouse.
Don't worry. All's quiet on the upstairs front. He's definitely younger than I'd imagined. For a king. You know?
Is he?
They both seem nervous. That surprised me.
Without some help from us, Daisy, there soon might not be an England to be king of. So I'd be nervous, too.
Well, it's interesting that you say it helped him relax, be a more normal person in a way. And one of the things that this movie does, it seems to me, is show even relatively recently, forget the 19th century, that presidents did not occupy such an armor-plated, weird, bubble, Truman Show-like thing, that they could – the real life impinged upon them more easily.
Oh, absolutely. And that's really well put. This Truman Show idea of just complete control. It's who can live in that bubble, and what does that bubble do to a human being? I think when you see in the film, the relationship, say, between the press and the president and the sense of sort of rules that they had trusting each other and how there are certain boundaries of private life and personal concerns that were not touched on by the press. I think that's a very interesting way of keeping someone in that such a position human.
Bill Murray does a wonderful job as FDR. Was there a risk or did you think about casting such a singular actor, this comic actor whose persona seems nothing like what we imagine FDR's to be?
This was Roger's idea, his first idea, his only idea, I believe.
So the director, Roger Michel, considered no other actors.
He just wanted Bill, and he didn't have to convince me, really based upon that incredible performance of Bill's in Lost in Translation, where there's such a sense of life behind those eyes and also a sense of loss and loneliness and yet a kind of a way of kidding along,
right,
keeping a room easy. All of those things we felt were at the center of our Franklin Roosevelt.
That's interesting.
So it all fit together with Bill. And that's how Roger spent his time trying to convince Bill, by pointing out those similarities and those needs.
And Bill Murray doing it, as opposed to various actors one could imagine and who have done FDR in the movies, instantly allows a viewer, I think, to sort of see this guy as a real human being with sardonic takes on things too, right?
Absolutely. That's absolutely right.
Your Majesty, would you like a hot dog? Do you take mustard?
I take whatever you think I should take with my hot dog.
Allow us then to put on a bit of mustard for you. Yeah. Daisy, would you show how we put on the mustard?
You're too kind.
It's what's this about?
It's very good.
You have written a lot about how important historical moments can play out on a human scale, such as your ongoing play cycle about the Apple family at the Public Theater, which are snapshots of this family, of family members on particular real days, Election Day in 2010, the 10th anniversary of 9/11, then this one last month that took place on Election Day. And each of those plays has opened on the day that they are set. What made you want to do that, opening them on the day?
Well, I think opening on the day just brings the audience into the play. When people are coming on the same day as the play, you've already laid the groundwork for that conversation. There's no leaps you
right.
have to make. If someone mentions something that's happened just the night before, the audience feels like they are right there. It is being written for them. It is being spoken for them. It is about them. And that's what I've tried so many different tactics, dramaturgical tactics, say, to try to make that happen in the theater. And this is one that's working out very well.
And you write up to opening?
Literally up to the opening.
Yeah.
I finish the play. I make the promise to the press office that the play is finished by 2:30 on the press night, on the opening night, so that they have time to make copies for the press.
And in the last week or two, is it just a little line here or there, or do you ever do substantial stuff?
Well, this was in the week of.
I guess you didn't know who was going to win the presidency.
Well, this particular play was set in the morning of Election Day, so
you didn't have to.
The characters don't know,
right?
Even right now, it's still playing, and the characters don't know who's going to win. The audience does, so that's now a very interesting dynamic that goes on. They're watching themselves in the past.
I remember that two weeks ago.
That's right. But in this case, we also had a hurricane. We had a hurricane.
And you refer to Sandy in the play.
Oh, absolutely. People traveled. The characters had traveled to Rhinebeck. So that how did they travel? One character took the train up to Rhinebeck, but the train didn't go to Rhinebeck. The trains were stopped in Croton Harmon. So that various things had to be both addressed and used. There was a very interesting moment when I learned that the day after the opening, there was going to be another storm. There was the nor'easter coming in, and realizing that I could put that into play, and actually it was very useful in a metaphorical sense as well as a very real sense.
A few years ago, you received a big award, and as you were receiving it, you told the audience, "I am arguing for a theater where the mindset is not to fix new plays, but to solve them." What does that mean?
Well, I think that what's happened to younger writers is there's a proliferation of workshops, readings, everyone getting their hand into a young writer's play and telling them how to fix it. The assumption has become that when a play is written,
it's broken.
It's broken already. Exactly. And what I say is, if you look at Hamlet, there's a lot of holes in Hamlet, a lot of big holes in Hamlet. So, but you don't try to fix it. You try to solve it. It's a play to be solved. And that's what I think so many, that's what directors and actors and producers should look at new plays more as animals to be solved. Because the more hands, more fingers into these plays, the less the writer will know what he or she has done. And the less opportunity they'll have to really grow.
That's really interesting as a problem, which I wasn't aware of, because it's well intentioned, of course, but it's turning theater into more of a movie like thing where God knows everybody has their hands in everything, or TV.
Well, exactly. But the problem is, we as playwrights, we own the copyright. We own the work.
Yeah.
So we're not.
That's the edge you playwrights have.
That's it. We're not being hired. We're not being paid to do this work. So we own it, and we should take responsibility for it. We should finish our own work. We shouldn't look to others, because sometimes it's the playwright's fault as well. And we should be treated as people who can achieve and complete their own endeavors.
And I suppose if it's become this epidemic problem, it also entails on the other end, not only telling the playwright to solve the problem, but to be more ruthless at the beginning. Like, this just isn't going to work. We're not going to spend any more time messing around with it.
Exactly.
Richard Nelson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kate.
The movie Hyde Park on Hudson, starring Bill Murray as FDR, opens this weekend.